Merry Christmas. We welcome you to our Christmas Eve communion service, such a highlight in the life of our church and our church family. We're glad you're here. Welcome to everyone, but a special welcome if you're our guest, if you're here perhaps with family and friends for this Christmas celebration. We're so glad that you've come to be with us this afternoon. We are going to engage in worship. We're going to sing together. We're going to take up the Lord's table because there's no better way to remember him than that. It's the way he gave us. So we welcome you and trust that it'll be a wonderful beginning to your family's Christmas celebration. Let's begin our time together in prayer. You join me as I pray. Our Father, we are so grateful to you for the amazing gift of your Son. Thank you that you have, in eternity past, decided to send him in the world to become one of us, to be like us, in order that he might redeem us. Lord, we thank you for the truth that we remember at this Christmas season, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Lord, I pray that you would fill our hearts this evening with worship as we sing, as we take of the Lord's table. Lord, may it be a wonderful way for us to truly recenter our thoughts and our hearts in the worship of your Son and the worship of you, our Father, through him, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together as we sing.
Thank you.
may be seated. I've asked Heidi Sears to come now and sing for us a song just written a few years ago. It reminds us that Jesus came for the broken, for the needy, for the unfaithful. Thank you, Heidi. Let's stand together once again. We'll continue to sing two of our favorite carols, O Little Town of Bethlehem and Silent Night.
Deep and free.
may be seated. John, Blaine, and Whitney come now to sing for us, "Behold the Lamb of God."
Now see the light of morning, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, a child to us is born. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away our sin. Behold the Lamb of God, the life and light of men. Behold the Lamb of God, who died and rose again. Behold the Lamb of God, comes to take away our sin. Wanderers in the wilderness, oh, hear a voice is crying. Prepare the way, make straight the path. Your King has come to die. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away our sin. Behold to take away our sin. Son of God, takes away our sin. Behold the Lamb of God, the life and light of men. Behold the Lamb of God, who died and rose again. Behold the Lamb of God, who comes to take away our sin.
Beautifully done. Thank you. Let's stand together once again as we sing.
I invite you, if you brought a copy of God's Word with you this evening, to turn with me to Luke chapter 2. If you didn't, there may be one there in front of you in the row, or you can listen as I read. This is, of course, the account of the birth of Christ told from the vantage point of Mary. Luke tells us that he investigated all of the events of Jesus' life carefully. Most scholars believe and agree that he interviewed Mary herself. So the details that we read in this account come from Mary through Luke, ultimately, of course, the Holy Spirit. Let's read it together. You follow along as I read Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are amazed by the simplicity of the way you chose to bring your Son into the world. What condescending grace! Your eternal Son, in eternity past, in the counsels of your own triune being, you decided that you would save mankind from sin, that you would save those who would believe in your Son, and you sent him into the world as one of us. You sent him into the womb of the Virgin Mary, miraculously created there by the work of the Holy Spirit, and then 9 months later, in the events we just read, he was born like all of us were born. Came into the world as we came into the world. Lord, we thank you that that child whose birth we celebrate tonight and tomorrow with our family, that that child is no one else than your eternal Son made flesh. And Lord, above all, we thank you for the reason that he came. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That he came, as we heard sung so beautifully a moment ago, to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Lord, I pray that as we gather with our family and friends, that that would be the heart of our celebration, of our worship to you and to him, and through the Holy Spirit, who has applied his redemption to our hearts. And now, Father, as we take of the Lord's table, as we remember him and the way he gave us, I pray that you would move our hearts to true and genuine worship. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, we have a lot of traditions in our families, and there are wonderful things about those traditions. We'll do many things tonight and tomorrow that have been part, perhaps, of our own families, maybe even our families before us. And those are wonderful things, but don't forget what struck the shepherds. I don't know if you noticed it as we read it, but what struck the shepherds that night wasn't all of the light and the trappings. It was the statement which was told them by the angel. What was that statement? "Today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." What struck them the night, they got to actually witness the little baby Jesus long after he was born. They got to see the Son of God incarnate. And what struck them was the statement that the Savior had come. That's why there's no better way to celebrate Christmas than the Lord's table, the way he gave us. I don't know if you've ever thought about it or not, but the Lord's table pictures every part of the Lord's life. It pictures his incarnation, the reality that God became flesh, because the elements represent his body and his blood. God is a spirit. He doesn't have body and blood. So the eternal Son of God took on, added to himself full and complete humanity. So these elements remind us of the incarnation, that he was born, that he came into the world as one of us. Do you realize that the eternal Son of God became fully human just like you? He had and has a human soul. He has a body, now a glorified body, but a human body. He is forever, from the moment of the conception in the womb of the Virgin Mary, he is forever the God-man, fully God, fully man. He's just like you with one exception, just like me with one exception, and that is he's without sin. And that's reminded in the Lord's table as well. The bread that we'll take doesn't have yeast in it. It's unleavened bread. It reminds us that he lived 33 years and never once did he sin against God. That's astounding for those of us who can't go a few minutes without sinning. 33 years. He never thought a sinful thought, never spoke a sinful word, never committed a sinful act. He never did anything but love God and love others his entire life. Every moment he breathed, that's how he lived. And the New Testament tells us he lived that way in the place of those who would believe in him, so that his perfect life could be credited to us and we would be treated forever as if we'd lived that perfect life. But the Lord's table not only reminds us of the incarnation, of his birth, it reminds us of his life lived in our place, but it reminds us of his death. Because he said, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And so there's no better way for us to remember Christmas than to take the Lord's table. Because in it, we remember his incarnation. We remember his perfect life lived for us. And we remember his death died for all who would believe in him. But you know, there's something else in the Lord's table. We even remember his resurrection. Because Jesus said to his disciples, "One day, I'm going to sit down and have a real meal with you." For us, it won't be a little tiny cracker and a little plastic cup of grape juice. It'll be a real meal with Jesus Christ. He's alive, and one day he comes for his own. So everything that is vital to the gospel is in the Lord's table. It's the perfect way to celebrate Christmas. If you're here tonight and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have repented of your sins, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're truly a follower of his, then this is for you. If you're here tonight and that's not true of you, we're so glad you've come and we welcome you. We don't want you to feel foreign to the celebration at all, but we just ask you to watch and enjoy the commitment that we have to Christ and what he has done for those of us who have put our faith in him. The only other caveat to taking the Lord's table tonight is even if you're a Christian, Paul said, make sure you don't do it with unconfessed sin. That is, make sure that you're willing to judge your own sin before the Lord. Or otherwise, you eat and drink, he said, in an unworthy way. I know that's not in your heart. Let's take a moment now and prepare our hearts as the men come to serve us. Confess your sin, seek the Lord's forgiveness, and praise him for the gift of his Son. Our Father, we do confess to you that there is no greater way, no better way for us to remember our Lord in his incarnation than this way that he's given us. To remember that the eternal Son of God added full and complete humanity. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. With a body, blood, a soul, just like us except for sin. and yet at the same time continuing to be the eternal Son of God. Lord, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. And as we come tonight to remember him, I pray that, Lord, for those of us who have believed in him, who have repented and believed in him as our Savior and Lord, Lord, help us to confess our sins before you. Lord, we acknowledge that at the moment of our salvation, when we repented and believed in him, you forgave us all of our sins as our judge. The gavel came down and you declared us forever innocent and even righteous through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But Father, we still come, even as your children, and especially as your children, to seek forgiveness, not from you now as our judge. Our sins have been forgiven in that sense, but to seek our forgiveness of you as your children, you as our Father, acknowledging that our sins have offended you. We've sinned against your love and your goodness and your grace. Father, may each of us in our own hearts confess the sins you bring to mind, seeking your forgiveness. And Father, I pray that as we come to take of the Lord's table, that we would do so with clean hands and pure hearts as we remember his incarnation, his perfect, unsullied life, his death for those who would believe in him, and even his resurrection and his return. Receive our worship now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As the men pass the bread, let's sing together.
Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood, who his love will not remember, who can cease to sing his praise. He can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal. The Mount of Crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide. Through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love like mighty rivers poured incessant from above. Heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love. And on the morn of resurrection, mercy filled the thirsty grave. Where the stone of death burst open, springs of life flowed unrestrained. Love no heart could ever measure, joy no sorrows will outrun. Rush upon the soul believing in the risen reign. This love, vast love of Jesus, bids us come and drink and live. To this weary world of longing, what more could our Savior give? Now to Christ, who fully loved us and who freed us from our sin, be all glory and dominion, everlasting praise to Him. Now to Christ who fully loved us and who freed us from our sin, be all glory and dominion, everlasting praise to Him, everlasting praise to Him.
As I mentioned, this is a perfect way to remember our Lord's incarnation, because the bread that you hold in your hand, our Lord Himself described it this way. He said, "This is my body." In other words, this represents the reality that the Lord Jesus Christ had a body. Why? Well, the writer of Hebrews puts words in our Lord's mouth when he writes, "As I've come into the world, a body you've given me." Christ talking to the Father, "A body you've given me." Why? So that I could be the sacrifice for sins. This reminds us of our Lord's humanity. He was just like you except for sin. That's why there's no yeast in that bread. It's to remind you of His incarnation. God doesn't have a body. He's invisible. He's a spirit. But the Lord Jesus is the eternal Son of God who added humanity and therefore has a body. But a body and a soul without sin. And He adds this: "This is my body, which is given for you." That reminds us of His substitutionary death, that He endured on the cross what our sins deserved, all who would believe in Him, so that God could give us the grace of forgiveness. He said, "As often as you do this in remembrance of me." Let's remember Him together. Our Father, we thank You for the bread. We are truly overwhelmed in this season with the reality it represents. Lord, we've sung of it. We're gathering with our family and friends today and tomorrow to celebrate the reality that Christ Jesus came into the world. And He didn't just come into the world, but He came into the world as one of us. He took on flesh and blood. He became human so that He might be qualified to stand in our place, to be our substitute. And yet He retained His divine nature so that He could save. We thank You for the Savior You provided. Lord, help us to be captivated as the shepherds were, not with all of the spectacle, but rather with the statement that today there has been born for us a Savior who is Christ the Lord. We thank You and praise You for the Savior, and it's in His name we pray. Amen. As the men pass the cup, let's continue to sing together.
How deep the Father's love for us, how that beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon His my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. But this I know
on that Thursday night before his crucifixion, our Lord took the cup as part of the Passover celebration, and he told his disciples, I want all of you to drink from it. This cup, he said, is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. He was really reminding them what we heard so beautifully sung a few minutes ago, and that is the reality that the Lamb of God had come. It was the first week of Jesus' ministry that John the Baptist saw Jesus, and he pointed to him and he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He would be God's Lamb, the one who would die at God's appointment for the sins of his people. That's how he saved us. He poured out, he said, his blood to purchase the forgiveness of sins. The only way that you and I can experience forgiveness, that we can have a relationship with God our Creator, that we can know Him and be with Him forever, is because Christ stood in our place. And on the cross, God credited to Jesus every single sin of every person who would ever believe in Jesus. And during those dark hours, He suffered what all believers deserve to suffer. And he purchased our forgiveness. Tomorrow when you, or tonight, whenever your family traditionally does it, you open gifts, you give gifts to each other, remember what you're doing. You are in a small way saying, I want to express my love to you by giving you a gift in the same way that God, our Creator, has expressed his love by sending his Son into the world to purchase at the cost of his life the greatest gift we can ever have, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of being right with God, of being reconciled to God, of having a relationship with Him and being with Him forever. Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. Let's remember Him together. Hold that cup carefully. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the amazing gift that you've given us in Christ. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us tonight and tomorrow as we enjoy wonderful times with our family and friends. Whatever the days hold for us, Lord, help us to focus our hearts on Christ. Help us to celebrate that he came. Help us, oh God, to celebrate how he came as a little baby coming into a world, adding to himself humanity. But Father, help us above all to celebrate why he came. This is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Father, for those of us who have already experienced that forgiveness because of what Christ did, fill our hearts with true adoration and worship. And Lord, for those friends who may be with us tonight who have never done that, who have never trusted in your Son as Savior and Lord, I pray that even in this season, you would use the truth of the gospel that they have sung, that they have read in the scripture, that they have seen proclaimed, even in the Lord's table, to draw them to yourself, to reconcile them to yourself, so that they who, like the rest of us, have been your enemies, can be your sons, your daughters. Lord, may that happen in this season when we celebrate the coming of your Son. We pray this for the glory of his name. Amen. Well, we're going to, in just a moment, we're going to sing together a closing song. Let me just, before we do that, say I hope you have a wonderful Christmas with your family, and we'll be praying to that end. We're going to sing a song to close our time together that's become a tradition here because it reminds us of why he came, that in Christ we have a Redeemer. Let's sing it together as Seth comes, and again, have a Merry Christmas.
Let's stand together as we sing.
Dismissed.